and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The jury in the sex trafficking trial of Sean Diddy Combs has reached a verdict on 4 of 5 counts against him, but is stuck on the racketeering conspiracy charge. Legal contributor Caroline Polisi.
A partial verdict, while it is acceptable technically, it's a difficult resolution, especially on this RICO charge, since it is one of those top charges.
It narrowly passed the Senate. Now the president's massive spending and tax bill heads to the House. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is vowing to get it defeated.
Republicans are not the party of working class Americans. They are the party of the wealthy, the well-off, and the well-connected. Stop lying to the American people.
A severe heat wave in Europe has altered a lot of tourist plans.
I don't think we actually mentally came prepared that this was going to be so hot in Paris, because we had booked the tickets much well in advance.
The summit of the Eiffel Tower was closed due to the heat. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Fireworks can be a blast, but they can also ruin the fun if someone gets hurt and are no fun at all for those sensitive to loud, unexpected noises. Tens of thousands of people were treated in emergency departments last year in the U.S. for fireworks-related injuries. Eric Mackey, MD, an Aspirus emergency medicine physician, said they see a lot of burn injuries from fireworks.
One of the most common things that causes burns is sparklers. They are fun, and I know everybody enjoys them at this time of year, but they burn at an extremely high temperature, and even when the firework has completed, the residual stick from the sparkler remains very hot.
Mackey said firecrackers that explode can cause serious injuries.
Those can have more devastating impacts.
An important safety strategy involves making sure children are supervised appropriately and that an adult is the one igniting the fireworks. You should never place any part of your body directly over the firework when lighting the fuse.
The other thing we commonly see are eye-related injuries from burning embers or portions of fireworks that find their way into the eye.
Along with the more than 14,000 people treated in ERs last year, there were also 11 deaths.
Some of the other high-risk things are, again, the much more explosive firecracker and even more explosive type of fireworks designed primarily to make loud bang.
And those loud bangs can have a devastating effect on our pets and on our military veterans who have survived combat. If you have a neighbor who is a combat veteran, please be courteous when shooting off fireworks. Consider letting them know, especially if you will be lighting them off prior to the 4th of July or after. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Big changes for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks making some record moves in free agency. They waived Damian Lillard, who suffered that torn Achilles tendon. Lillard, who turns 35 later this month, will be paid $22.5 million over the next 5 years in dead money by the Bucks owners. GM John Horst then making a deal to acquire Indiana Pacers center Miles Turner, a 4-year deal worth $107 million. Turner is 29 years old. He'll replace 37-year-old Brooke Lopez, who will sign a 2-year contract with the LA Clippers. To get under the salary cap, the Bucks had to trade guard Pat Connaughton and 2 future second-round picks to the Charlotte Hornets in exchange for Vasilije Micic, a 31-year-old guard from Serbia. And Milwaukee will also sign 11-year veteran guard Gary Harris of the Orlando Magic. Again, Damian Lillard, no longer with the Bucks. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets rained out tonight in New York. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 60s. Partly sunny for tomorrow, maybe a stray storm, a high in the mid 80s. And upper 80s on Thursday, another slight storm chance. A couple of storms around for the 4th of July, and temps in the upper 80s and muggy. It's 82 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen will join us to discuss breaking news as it continues on the state budget and in Washington. Plus, what's worse. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4. Locally grown radio. WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pete Schwabba. Welcome, welcome. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. We are inching closer to the 4th of July weekend, a holiday weekend, one of the most probably festive holidays we have here in America in terms of things we look forward to, long weekends, et cetera, et cetera. Just kind of throwing caution to the wind, eating and drinking like fools, and celebrating our nation's birth and independence. We have a great show tonight, folks. We are going to be talking. I thought this was perfect for the 4th of July because 4th of July is a the kind of holiday where you stand around a keg, you have some cocktails, you watch some fireworks, but it's kind of a, and I don't mean this in an unsafe or unhealthy way, but it's a drinking holiday. It's a summer booze holiday. And what better guest to have on the radio tonight on Nightlight than a distiller? Conrad, you know who we have coming in?
Sturgeon.
Sturgeon Spirits.
There we
Distillery.
Go.
Distillery founder Carl Lowenstein will join us here in the studio at 6:35. He makes everything. And I'm fascinated by the whole distilling process because it looks very cool. I just think it's a process. A lot of work and care goes into it. And ever since I watched the show MASH, where Hawkeye and Trapper would make their own booze in the tent, even before I drank, I was fascinated at the process. And especially with whiskey and bourbon and the barrels and all that kind of stuff, I find the whole process really interesting. So I thought, what better? And this is a great week to have a distiller on the show. Carl will be here at 6:35. I have a host of questions for him. And I'm sure he will enjoy answering them. I talked to him on the phone the other day, and he's also a UW Oshkosh professor. So we'll talk to Carl about what he brings to each craft by way of the other. And he will be here at 6:35 in the studio. And then at 7:35, in honor of Cameron Frye's birthday, actor Alan Ruck turns, I believe, 55 today. He played Cameron Frye in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So we will have a little discussion about Ferris Bueller's Day Off at 7:35 with our pal Lisa Hale, the host of New Wisco Weekend, here on WGBW and WISS, if you haven't checked out our news magazine show that Lisa hosts. It's really fun, and there's a different theme every week. It's a great show. Conrad contributes to it every week. I do a classic movie pick every week. It's just a really, a little treasure we have here in Northeast Wisconsin, the Northeast Wisconsin branch of Civic Media. Lisa will be here at 7:35, and we were already, Lisa, every time I email Lisa, I think I told you this, Con, she comes back with movie lines. When I tell her what my classic movie pick of the week will be, she has a ton of movie lines. Like, she's apparently seen everything. She dwarfs my knowledge of movies, and it's kind of emasculating. But we'll have a fun talk with Lisa at 7:35 about a great movie and a great summertime movie, too. Ferris Bueller's Day Off came out in 1987 or 88. I got to go to the Google. But it was a summer movie, and it was just a great, I think I saw it like five times that summer. So we'll talk to Lisa about that. That'll be fun. And we'll talk fireworks. What did you find out about fireworks? The history. They go back really far.
Yeah, they do. I believe it was made from China, right? Yeah, China, yeah. With gunpowder, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, it's personally, I'm a see it one time a year guy. Fireworks. I don't know. I don't go crazy for fireworks. What about either. You?
Same. I don't. We've been lucky. We have a neighbor. Our neighbor Marty has put on this little fireworks show every year. I don't think he's doing it this year. But the people in our neighborhood just kind of walk down to the water and we get our own little personal show, which is fine. But my mom loves fireworks. And she said, well, if Marty's not doing them this year, maybe we could all get in the car and go over to Menominee across the river to Michigan. Yeah. And when you do that, you might as well be in downtown Chicago. I'm not fighting traffic in a small town.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of cars and I'm not doing it. And I don't like fireworks that much. Like, they're beautiful. I love them, but to be honest, I like watching them on TV over the mall in Washington that they do every year. That's fun. I like looking across the bay and seeing Door County's displays. That's a little bit of a distance, but you can still, it's just a fun show, but that's my level of interest. I don't have to sit there under the fireworks for 2 hours.
In Kewaskum, it was like that too. It was, you know, there's cars everywhere. Luckily for me, I lived in town, so if I wanted to, I could walk to it.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
But then you have to find a seat.
Right.
And in Kewaskum, they do it on a hill.
Okay.
Like, that's where people sit. And then a little bit across the grass is where they start shooting off fireworks. It's in a park.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to find an actual spot in there.
Right.
On that hill. I mean, it's pretty big.
It sounds kind of cool.
It was cool. But it's like, you've seen them. They don't really change that much every year.
Right.
It's fireworks. They're going to do the same thing. I don't know.
They do the same thing, and every year you hear the, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, ooh. Well, you just saw this the last 30 years in a row. Is this really new? And I know I sound like a bah humbugger, but fireworks are beautiful. I love them at a baseball game or when it's not expected or something like that. But I now that my kids are older, I used to brave those groups. You know, especially when we lived in L.A., it was more of a hassle. But even in a small town, you know, when you got to get your spot, like you said, and there are, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I don't think I am. I bet there were years when there have been over 100 or 200 cars, which in a small town creates a
lot.
Bottleneck,
yeah.
You know? And I just don't, I don't know.
I'm kind of a bah humbug with this too. Like, I don't know. I just never really liked fireworks that much. Like, I'd go to a Temper Rattler game with my brother and some of his friends and they'd be like, we got to stay for fireworks after. I'm like, why?
See, then I would do. If you're already there,
I know. I'm
sure,
like,
sure, bring it.
But we can beat the traffic, you know.
Oh, you're that guy.
As soon as we get in, all right, how are we going to get out, guys?
That's great. But I'm not anti-firework. I'm anti-crowd. You know,
yeah.
My brother and my dad got in the car on Father's Day and went to a Cubs game from Marinette, Wisconsin. They drove 4 hours to Wrigley Field and 4 hours home the same day. Maybe something's wrong with me. I'm not doing that.
I wouldn't do that either.
I've been to hundreds of baseball games. I love it. And, you know, if I could jump on the L or if I lived an hour away, maybe I would do that. But, and they're both lawyers. I knew there'd be a ton of legal talk and I have no interest in that. So
that sounds like a fun car ride.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk more about torts. Anyway, again, I don't mean to sound like a bah humbugger. I actually, when I was a kid, there was a kid in our neighborhood who blew half of his thumb off with a firework. So I've always had this kind of bias.
There's a kid who I know who did that.
Really?
Too. Well, his whole hand, actually.
He blew his whole hand off?
All of his fingers.
Like an M80 or something?
I don't know. We weren't that close, but yeah. Like, I heard about it.
We should have had him on for our handshake segment last week. And that always, like, not to me, like, they didn't freak me out whenever I was around someone doing fireworks. I'd kind of keep my distance, but whatever. I didn't mind watching, but it scared me for my kids. Like, I was always worried they were going to be at some idiot's house who didn't know what they were doing. And I always thought about that kid in our neighborhood that blew half his thumb off.
Yeah.
Half your thumb. And he was like 9. messing around with fireworks in the park. Yeah, it was insane.
You know, I don't like those those little like things you can throw and they make that snappy noise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I'd have friends that would just chuck them at people.
Oh, horrible. I knew kids that would put them in animals. It's what? Awful. Yeah. In Marinette, several years ago down by the water, I caught some kids putting fireworks in toads. And I'm like, what? Get out of here, you future serial killers.
Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
It's so awful. And I looked online to find some fireworks accidents because I thought there'd be some funny ones, but it's all just horrifying.
Yeah, no. It's,
you want to talk about it, you know?
No, that's terrible.
All right, so I promise the show will go uphill from here, folks. We'll try to turn this around. I have a piece of glass in my foot, which is kind of...
That sucks.
It does, and it's not a big... It's like a little shard. It's a tiny shard.
Those are the worst.
That hurts a little bit, and I can't find it. And I know that something was broken on the kitchen floor, and I'm sure somebody swept it up and didn't quite get everything. So now, what do I do? Like, I know you're not a doctor, but like, do I wait for it to pass like a kidney stone, or is it going to get infected? I don't know what to do.
This is what I'll tell you. The one thing that I've done to help me get it out, splinters or something like that, is leave my foot in the bathtub until it gets to that little like soggy state.
Oh, and then go digging around?
And then it kind of like goes out a little bit.
Here's the problem. I haven't taken a bath since 1974.
Well, you don't have to take an actual, just put your foot in there.
Put my foot in some water. Okay. And then you until get the tweezers and...
Exactly.
What are you saying? It works its way out because of the heat or the moisture?
I don't know
how, or what?
I don't know. It just works for me.
Okay.
I've done it with my hand, too.
Serious medical opinion here.
I've done it with my hand.
All right. And, I got to do something. It's starting to annoy me more than anything. I'm not like bleeding profusely or anything.
Those are the worst, though. Those little tiny things that you can't
find.
The
annoying. Yeah.
But you can feel it.
Exactly. Did you say we missed a Steady Eddie text last night?
Yeah, last night he was talking about, you asked him, was it the Atlanta Braves or the Milwaukee Braves? And he's texted and saying the Milwaukee Braves.
The Milwaukee Braves. Okay, very good, Steady Eddie. That, by the way, him just saying Milwaukee Braves is the shortest Steady Eddie text we've ever received.
It is.
So we are going to get to our question of the night shortly. We have... a great one tonight, folks. And I hope everybody, it's been so fun with the questions lately. And last night we had great responses to our, who is the greatest athlete ever to wear a pro or college Wisconsin uniform. And tonight we've got a good one too. As I mentioned at 6:35, Carl Lowenstein will be here from Sturgeon Spirits Distillery. We're going to talk distilling and spirits. It's going to be a lot of fun, especially right before the 4th of July. So I think we should not waste any more time and get to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What drink will you be nursing on the 4th of July? I mean, I'm not encouraging day drinking, but if there is a day... You are going to day drink. It's going to be the 4th of July. So what's a good drink to nurse? You got to take your time, especially if you start early, before noon, post noon, whatever. What's a good drink to nurse on the 4th of July? Let's have an information exchange here and help each other out. And not while you're driving, you know, if you're staying in your neighborhood and you're just going to watch fireworks and cook out, and you don't want to really cook out when you've been day drinking either, but... What's a good drink to nurse on the 4th of July? Responsibly. Wisconsibly, I should say.
Well, Wisconsibly and nursing don't really go
kind
hand in hand.
Opposite ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't know this one. Like I said, I haven't had a drink in over a couple of years now, but there was a slushy. The Murphy side of my family used to make. My mom's relatives made this, like, I think it was brandy and ice. It would probably be something like that or margarita. What about you?
So... I just recently tried this new Line and Kugel's beer.
Summer Shandy?
No, I've had that many, many of times. It is a new flavor that they put out this year, and it's Liney Lodge Lime.
Lime?
And it's it's a Mexican lager.
Ooh.
With like lime in it already, pretty much.
Okay.
It's so good.
Really?
It's dynamite. I'm going to have some of those.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. That's heavy, though.
Not really. It's a little bit heavier than a Corona, I'd say.
All right, fair enough. So that's our question, folks. Please be part of the fun. We'll read your text on the radio. What drink will you be nursing on the 4th of July? Great night for this, because we've got an actual distiller, Carl Lowenstein, in the studio tonight at 6:35. We're coming right back to read your text. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Second half of the Northwoods League season is starting today, and the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters are looking to turn it around. They've got a little bit of momentum coming their way after winning the final two games of the first half. They have finished their last 11 games. They have a winning record, 6-5 after their struggling start to the year. They've been able to kind of flip the script as of late and hoping to keep that rolling along. We are here in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, where the Dock Spiders are hosting the Rafters in game one of a two-game series. Game number two will be tomorrow night, but before then, it'll be the Rafters with Noah Marschke taking on Noah Weck for the Dock Spiders. So the first game of the second half here, and back in the first half, it was Green Bay who finished the standings atop the subdivision. So they claimed the Great Lakes West and are going to be making the playoffs. The Rafters looking for the second playoff spot, but Fond du Lac is going to be one of the teams they have to go up against. The Dock Spiders went just above 500 back in the first half of the season, so not a bad team to be looking at, and the Rafters are really going to have to test their luck here to see if they can keep their recent streak rolling along. And a ton of moves have been made. The Rafters have officially activated 13 players after having to deactivate 16 and waiving another two in today's slew of roster moves. So a lot of change coming to the Rafters, and hopefully it's some good change as the Rafters are hoping to win the subdivision here and make that playoff push. But the Rafters taking on the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders, we'll see if they can keep it up. And I already talked about the pitching matchup a little bit, but we're going to talk about a little bit more with Coach Tom Zaglowski. Ziggy, coming up on our pregame interview, he's going to be who we're talking to. Excited to get the chance to share that conversation. And well, it's going to be a big turnaround. And what Ziggy was saying is it's a different team in terms of how veteran and experienced these players are. The second half are a little more experienced, whereas the first half was more raw talent that you're seeing and trying to develop them and work them into better positions. So you've kind of got a tale of two halves. Rafters hoping this one is going to result in more wins, but we'll see if it happens here. Going to talk with Ziggy about that and, of course, his recap of the first half. All that comes up next, and then starting lineups and a starting pitcher breakdown follows here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Hello and welcome back into the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and joining us on the pregame show yet again, it is Coach Ziggy, Tom Zaglowski. Glad to have you along with us. You know, first half of the season over with, figured it was a perfect time to get to talk to you right now. Kind of preview second half, get your thoughts on the first half and, you know, what you're trying to take and what you're trying to flush away from that first half. You want to just kind of get things started just with your thoughts?
Yeah, thanks for having me back on, Austin. First half was a lot of learning curve for this team, for this organization. Bringing in some of the portal kids and giving them opportunities to grab schools was a big push that I wanted for this first half. The second half, I went a little more veteran-lated, which are guys already in schools, were during playoff runs that couldn't get here during first half. So I think this second half is going to be a huge push towards victories over building culture.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, that first half of the season didn't quite go the way that you guys wanted it to, but near the end of that first half, certainly started clicking. 6-5 over the last 11 games leading up to this point right here. That's a winning record right now. And obviously, you want to be a little bit more than just above 500. You want to have, you know, three games up. You want to go 7-4 over an 11-game stretch. But I think that's a step in the right direction. How are the guys feeling about it right now, and how are you as a coaching staff feeling?
For that first half, group to pass the torch like they did yesterday with the two victories over the Mallards was huge for us moving forward. Some of these guys, there was, I think, eight of them watching the game. And to be able to see the passion and the effort these guys put that last game, it's an easy way to pass the baton. And I think these guys are going to take over.
And when you look at this second half team, you know, obviously you already explained the veteran difference. But when you look at, you know, on the scoreboard, how are we going to see changes in here? What is going to be the biggest difference game-wise that we're going to see out of these more veteran experienced players?
Ball security. Making the right choices on the bases. Not so much loose freedom that we were first half. I think second half I'll implement some more signs just to take a little more reins on it and make sure we're playing the game the right way and not just giving outs up. But I think it's going to be up to the pitching. This first group was young. I think the second group, again, is veteran-lated, proven. I think the innings are there under their belt, so it's just about how to spread them out from here on.
Well, you talk about youth. The guy on the mound today is very young, Noah Marschke. He's still just finishing up his freshman season in college, but he is coming back for his second year up there. Do you kind of group him in with more of the veteran guys?
Absolutely, Austin. The way he's came in and held himself together this year is a total turnaround from last year out of high school. Noah Marski's ready. Noah Marski's going to be a dude moving forward.
Well, you talk about, you know, dudes that you get to see, and you saw a lot of guys in the first half.
Obviously, there's a couple of guys that aren't going to be returning here for the second half. Who do you think are going to be, you know, some of the biggest pieces that you're missing from that first half team? And then how do you kind of envision those holes getting filled here in the second half?
Onati, Ruiz, Zacher, Guerrero, like glue pieces we'll miss. But it's the Jake Machine, Landon Gauze, those guys that have been here before will keep that glue together.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to get to kind of watch the new team gel together. When you're looking at today's game, you know, what are you kind of telling the guys to say, hey, are you saying, you know, be ready to go out there, you know, keep your expectations up high. You're trying to reach for that next step. What's kind of the message that you're trying to send to these new guys who are getting in today?
You never know who's watching. You need two eyeballs to catch attention to. Get out there, put every effort that you got. Play like it's your last.
Well, I've got one more question for you here before we finish up. And, you know, throughout this whole season, I've kind of been talking to you as, you know, the guy in charge. But it's easy to forget that it's still just your first season as the manager of the Rafters. What's been your biggest takeaway from the first half from the coaching side of things?
Having good coaches under me, with Mike Spears being my pitching coach, Manny Silva helping out in the bullpen out there, with Eric Robles putting in the hours with the hitters, with the fielders, stuff that I don't get to do what I do without a staff that's doing what they do.
Well, that's all that I've got for you. Anything else that you want to add real quick?
Just, we're here. Rats are going to start rolling. Get ready.
I'm excited to see it and excited for the first game of the second half tonight.
Yes, me too.
Looking forward
to
a win. Hopefully we can get it.
Thanks, Austin.
All right, that's going to do it for our pregame show. Once again, that was field manager Tom Zaglowski, also known as Ziggy. We're going to go ahead and hit a quick break, and when we come back, it's starting lineups and a starting pitcher breakdown for you here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome in to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. It is time for the second half, just a few moments away from first pitch here in Fond du Lac, as the Rafters going to be taking on the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders for game number 37 on the season, but game number one of the second half. And of course, the standings, well, effectively reset here, as the Rafters will be looking to claim the second half crown and get that automatic spot in the playoffs. But they've got a tall task ahead of them. It was a close competition in the first half between Green Bay, Wausau, and the Madison Mallards. The Mallards, though, they went down 1-2 in both of the games yesterday in the doubleheader, and the Rafters were able to keep that momentum. It was a big-time way to have a send-off for some of the players that we won't be seeing for, unfortunately, the rest of the season. There were some key pieces there, and you heard a couple of them mentioned by Ziggy in our pregame interview, but I think you look back at it, and maybe the biggest one, Noah Ruiz. He is not going turning. Of course, he was the first half. So that's going to be a big hole for the Rafters to fill, but they've got plenty of guys ready to roll along. As we get set here, it'll be Royce Clayton Jr., a familiar face, who starts off and swings and misses at the first pitch at 6:35 p.m. So first pitch on the way, and it's a swing and a miss from the right-handed hitting center fielder for the Rafters. Righty-righty matchup as this pitch misses a little bit low to bring it 1-1. And well, the Rafters looking for a big win to get them rolling along. Currently on a two-game win streak thanks to the sweep of the doubleheader yesterday, as this is a swing and a miss from Clayton, brings the count 1-2. It was just the second time this season that the Rafters have won a game back-to-back. 1-2 count. This pitch misses high for ball number two. 2-2 the count. Of course, they had the three-game win streak earlier in the first half. All three of those games were on the road. And then they turned things around there right at the end of the season at home. 2-2 count to Clayton. Misses inside. It's now a full count. And Clayton, he is a guy who already has some experience in the Northwoods League thanks to that first half of the year. And Clayton batted 227 in the first half. Pitch on the way. It's outside for ball number four, and Clayton is able to draw a walk there. And I tell you what, that's been the most impressive development in his game this season. It's been the ability to draw walks. At the beginning of the year, he hardly took any walks. But down the stretch, it feels like he's working counts. It feels like he's watching pitches and getting on base any way possible. And that right there is a prime example of it. Great development. I've loved to see that from Clayton. And, well, he gets the Rafters started with a leadoff base runner. Clayton on first base brings up a new addition for the Rafters, Hayden Carlson. And Carlson, he actually just signed his contract earlier today. So not a guy that was among the offseason signees. A lot of them activated for the first time today, as Carlson swings and misses at the first pitch for an 0-1 count. And Carlson, one of the reinforcements coming in for this second half, and the Rafters roster, their full roster is at 30 players exactly right now. Throw back towards first base. It gets away. It's in the dirt. Here comes Clayton over to second base. He wheels round, but now retreat back to second base, and the error on the throw from Noah Weck means that Royce Clayton Jr. has gone on over to scoring position. An 0-1 count with nobody out in the top of the first. Still 0-0. First error of the game for the Dock Spiders. And you talk about the errors. And in the first half of the season, the Rafters, whenever they were able to limit errors, that was a big benefactor to their game, as the 0-1 count misses low to bring it 1-1. And, well, they did struggle in every other game. It seemed like they had the error issues. They had 15 games in the first half with two or more errors. 1-1 count is hit up the middle towards the second baseman. He will turn, flip it over to first, and did he get there? Yeah, just in time. Not by much. Hayden Carlson is retired for the first out of the game, and it's 4-3 on the put out as it brings up another new addition for the Rafters, Junior Barajas. Barajas, a left-handed hitting catcher for the Rafters, but today he's playing first base. And so Barajas, first baseman today, and comes from Saddleback Community College. He's got a runner on third base with one out. Takes the first pitch inside for ball number one. Rafters looking to take the lead here in the top of the first inning. And Barajas hoping for his first RBI. He's batting in the three hole for the Rafters today. On deck, it's Madden Akko, who is a familiar name, as he's been on fire for the Rafters. This pitch is fouled back. brings the count back even with a 1-1 count. And Barajas, well, he is brothers of the other Barajas, Jace. Both of them coming over, having played at some point in their career at Saddleback. And there's a few guys from Saddleback. That includes Hayden Carlson, who was just up at the plate. 1-1 count. This one is fouled back and out of play. 1-2. And so you're going to see a few guys coming up that have spent some time at that junior college. It's a good one. And, well, of course, Ziggy has some connections to the California area. So he's going to know a little bit more about those guys. He's been keeping an eye on them. Part of the reason why Carlson was brought into town. 1-2 count. This one misses low and inside. And almost hit Barajas as he sidestepped out of the way. Now a 2-2 count, and looking a little more in-depth at Barajas. Obviously not much numbers to work off of from the Northwoods League. However, he is a commit to UC Irvine because he has been absolutely crushing it at the plate and defensively for Saddleback, as this one is sent high in the air towards right center field. Going back, it will bounce off the warning track and towards the wall. This is a big first hit for Junior Barajas. An RBI double gives the Rafters the lead here in the first inning. Now, I told you he was crushing the ball at Saddleback. Well, he's crushing it now in the Northwoods League. Just one at bat in, and it's a big one. Rafters lead 1-0 now in the top of the first. Junior Barajas, and man, oh man, he had 6 homers and an 893 OPS during this past spring at Saddleback with the Bobcats, and, well, he continues to show off the power here. Now the batter at the plate, Madden Akko, takes the first pitch for strike number one. 0-1 the count. Akko, the right-handed hitting second baseman today, and he's played a little bit of second base at Fordham and, of course, throughout his career, but he's been playing first base and DH for the Rafters as he swings and foul tips this one to bring the count 0-2. So Akko trying to make the defensive adjustment in the bottom half of this frame, but right now trying to show off that hit tool because he did a great job of that yesterday. And on an 0-2 count, there's going to be a little bit of time taken here as Noah Weck and Jonathan Fitz weren't quite on the same page. And, well, that is a key thing between, you know, a pitcher and a catcher. You want to make sure that you've got the right pitch called up here. You never want to leave one too much over the plate or throw one that you're not confident in. And so taking some time to figure things out here. And with Noah Weck on the mound for the Dock Spiders, Weck is a guy who is making his first start of the season for Fond du Lac. And well, he's trying to show off the stuff here, and we'll see what he does trying to get back. Actually, this is not his first start. Apologies there. He's actually made a couple of them as this one misses low to bring the count 1-2. Weck, the righty, he's made 3 starts this year. Guy from Oklahoma State, native of Manitowoc. 1-2 count with the runner on second and one away here in the top of the first. This one is ripped right over to shortstop, picked up off the hop, throw on over to first, and they got him just in time. 6-3 on the putout, and it keeps Barajas on second base. So now it brings up Landon Gaz to the plate, and Gaz, one of the Rafters' newer outfielders, he is the third of the new players to be making their debut for the Rafters. Hayden Carlson, Junior Barajas, and Landon Gaz, all 3 of them activated today. They are all in that starting lineup for Wisconsin Rapids. Barajas is taken off from second base. Throw on down to third. It takes a hop and over to third. The tag is not in time. Stolen base for Junior Barajas. So look at that. He has a double, an RBI, and now a stolen base. Junior Barajas getting a strong start to his Rafters career. He's now 90 feet away from scoring. Runner on third base. 2 outs in the top of the first. And an 0-1 count to Landon Gaz as that last pitch was a strike. This one, a looping breaking ball that misses outside to bring it back even 1-1. And Gaz, the left fielder for Wisconsin Rapids, coming over from UC Irvine, and going to see if he can show off that Division I status. 1-1 count is fouled back, brings it 1-2. And Gaz, a returner to the Rafters. Some fans may remember him from last season. Played a little bit of time for Wisconsin Rapids and now a 1-2 count. He will bring this one home, and it's called for strike number 3, and that got Gaz looking. So the Rafters do take the lead. They score one run on one hit. There was one error, and the Rafters leave one on base. It's 1-0 Wisconsin Rapids. We head to the bottom of the first here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, Rafters fans. Don't let online troublemakers steal home. Stay in control with the new My Solaris app. It's a grand slam for parents, letting you monitor and block content, set screen time limits, and keep your family safe online, all from your phone or mobile device. Test your internet speed like a pro, set up guest networks, and prioritize devices to keep your family's MVPs working, streaming, or gaming without a hitch. With My Solaris, you're in command, managing your Wi-Fi like a champ. For more information, visit solaris.net/Wi-Fi. App features vary by internet plan and may require a complimentary equipment upgrade. Hey, baseball fans. Are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Welcome back in. Rafters lead 1-0 in the bottom of the first inning. Noah Marschke on the mound. He sends the first pitch in, but it misses outside for ball number one. Tommy Guggins up at the plate for the Dock Spiders, a right-handed hitting shortstop from Princeton University. Smart boy out there. 1-0 count. This one misses a little low for ball number two. A 2-0 count. And Guggins showing off the plate discipline early on. Noah Marschke on the mound for the Rafters. Left-handed pitcher from Madison Area Technical College. And now a 2-0 count. He's going to try and get a strike here and throws one on the inside corner for strike one. 2-1, and this season, man, Marschke has had a very good year, and I talked about him a little bit with Ziggy pregame and said he was very impressed with Marschke's experience, as this one is a fly ball down the right field line, but reaches foul and out of play to bring it back even 2-2. And Marschke this year, he enters this game
with a 4.34 ERA in his five games. This is start number six on the year, and man, Marschke has been good. And you talk about his recent stretch of games as well, and you can't deny it. He has been next to unstoppable for the Rafters. 2-2 count on the way to Guggins, and Marschke brings it home. This one is sent down the right field line and lands just foul by a couple of inches. Did not miss that line by much, and so the count remains 2-2. That was nearly at least a single, if not two bases, for Guggins, but he has to head back to the batter's box. And while I talk about the recent dominance from Noah Marschke, he hasn't allowed a run in his last 8 1/3 innings pitched. Have to go all the way back to June 17th against Traverse City. Last two starts, he's been shutout baseball. 2-2 count, gets a swing and a miss. Strike number three, and that retires Tommy Guggins. First plate appearance, first strikeout of the game for the Rafters pitcher, and it brings up James Hankerson Jr. to the plate with nobody on and one out in the bottom of the first. Rafters up 1-0. They scored the one run on Junior Barajas, his RBI double that scored Royce Clayton Jr. Hankerson at the plate, right-handed hitter, takes the first pitch a little up for ball number one. 1-0 the count, and Hankerson, the first baseman for the Dock Spiders, comes from Florida State University, native of Tampa, Florida. The pitch here is fouled back to even it up, 1-1, and goes straight up above the press box. Taking a look at the Rafters' defensive lineup. Rafters are, of course, led out by Noah Marschke on the mound. Nick Adrian is behind the plate. Name that a lot of people are going to remember. He was a very good defensive catcher back in that first half, and hoping to continue that as the pitch misses high, 2-1. And well, as I mentioned, six of the nine starters in the batting order, seven of the 10 in the starting lineup, if you include the pitcher, were returning from the first half. 2-1 count on the way home. Breaking ball drops in there for strike number two. 2-2 the count. And, well, the Rafters as a team, they lost 18 players that were on the full roster from yesterday. 18 of the 35 players on the full roster yesterday, no longer with the squad on those first half contracts. 2-2 count, another one drops in there for strike number three. Got him looking. Back-to-back K's for Noah Marschke. And it brings up T.P. Wentworth to the plate with nobody on and two outs here on the bottom of the first. Rafters still up one and trying to start this second half off the right way. And already getting some help from the new additions, Junior Barajas, one of them. But, you know, you talk about the new additions. They brought in 13 new players that were activated today. 13 players were activated today, and another one also came into town, as this one is called for strike number one on T.P. Wentworth. And so a lot of movement around the Rafters today and made it a little hectic, to say the least, in preparations. 0-1 count, and oh man, an early swing from Wentworth, and he thought he was going to crush a fastball, and gets about halfway around that swing, realizes, that was not a fastball, and tries to slow it down, but wasn't near enough timing. 0-2 count. Marschke trying to start this game off strong for himself. Pitch on the way home to Wentworth. Swing and a miss. Strike number three, and Marschke strikes out the side in the first. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base. What a way to start the game on the mound. And the Rafters head to the top of the second, up 1-0 here in Fond du Lac on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Welcome back into Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas as we welcome you back in. The Rafters currently lead the Dock Spiders 1-0 after three straight strikeouts to start the game from Noah Marschke. That's the way that you want to get the game rolling along. And hey, if you can do it by striking out the side, whatever is easiest for you. And well, that's going to certainly look good on the stat sheet after this game is over. Noah Marschke, what a way to get the Rafters started. And, well, here in the top of the second inning, the Rafters hoping to keep the offense rolling along. They did manage to score their first run of the game earlier in the top of the first. It was an RBI double from Junior Barajas, one of the new additions to the Rafters team in the second half. And he came in and immediately made an impact. Absolutely smoked one out towards right center field. And so now here in the second inning, it'll be up to a couple of returning players from the first half. Nick Adrian, Drew Thompson, and Hiroto Kobayashi are due up in the inning for Wisconsin Rapids. It's their 6, 7, and 8 batters. And then if it gets there, Luke Skinner, he makes his return to the lineup after missing a lot of time due to injury. This pitch misses high for ball number one to Nick Adrian. And so excited to get to see Luke Skinner finally get back out onto the field. I know he's been working hard to get back out here. 1-0 count. That one is in there for strike number one. And well, he did play defensively back in the bottom of the first inning. But nothing went his way. Nothing at all, because everything was strikeouts from Marschke. Oh, man, that's a nasty curveball right there. Dropped into the zone from Noah Weck. Brings the count 1-2. Nick Adrian, right-handed hitting catcher. It's a righty-righty matchup, and working efficiently on the mound. This one is grounded towards third. It will bounce foul, and it keeps the count 1-2. Noah Weck, he didn't have a bad first inning, but did allow the run, and of course he had the error on the throw over to first trying to pick off the runner. And that really kind of started a little bit of a spiral from him. Not too bad. He was able to work through it relatively well. But the double to Junior Barajas, not too much you could do about that. 1-2 count, swing and a miss from Adrian. Strike number three. It's the second strikeout of the game from Noah Weck. And it brings up Drew Thompson to the plate with nobody on and one out here in the top of the second. Thompson, the right-handed hitting DH, a two-way player for the Rafters, been making a lot of appearances as a starter, and, well, he's one of the team leaders in starts. Actually, I think he is the team leader as he swings and misses at this first pitch to bring the count 0-1. And, well, Noah Marschke trying to make that late comeback to tie him up in starts this year, but Thompson, I mean, he's been a workhorse out there. 0-1 counts, swing and a miss again, brings it 0-2, but he is working at developing that presence at the plate as well. That's been something that he's hoped to do. And I was talking to him earlier, and he says, you know, sometimes it can be tough when you're going through cold spells, as this pitch misses high for ball number one. And he kind of joked to me, he said, man, you know, those games where I go 0-4, I say, I'm gonna just quit hitting, I'm going to be pitcher only. And he says, yeah, next game I'll go and have a home run or a big RBI double, and I'll say, you know what, maybe I can do this a few more games. That pitch misses outside to bring it 2-2. And Thompson, a talkative guy. He's a fun guy to talk to. 2-2 count, swing, and a miss. Strike number three. It's the third strikeout of the game from Noah Weck. And, well, it's been a strikeout-heavy game so far from the two teams combined, as the Rafters have struck out their last three batters. Noah Weck really feeling it right now after allowing a walk and a double to his two of his first three batters. Turned it around and trying to keep it going. He'll try and strike out the side after Marschke did that back in the first inning. First pitch on the way, that's in there, called strike number one.
Hiroto Kobayashi, the right-handed hitting right fielder for the Rafters. It's a righty-righty matchup. 0-1 count coming home. It's fouled back to bring the count 0-2. On deck, Luke Skinner, who I talked about a little bit earlier. But Kobayashi, man, he had a big hit yesterday. I tell you what, four RBIs in the game. Three of them came in the bottom of the sixth inning of a seven-inning ballgame. 0-2, that's called for strike number three. Four straight strikeouts from Noah Weck, and he strikes out the side in the second. Three up, three down. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base. We head to the bottom of the second. It's 1-0 Rafters here on WFHR 97.5 FM 1320.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and